thank you. I was nervous for a second that no one was going to say anything. I was like, oh. Like, oh, Mike again. That's awesome. We're going to get to talk about God this morning. And it's been awesome already. And it's so cool to see how it comes together. We were talking about this morning as well, just that the Holy Spirit writes the service. Like, we plan and we do our best, but so many of the things that happen on a Sunday, we can't and aren't able to pre-plan, but the Holy Spirit plans, and he brings together a service in just such an amazing way. And the scripture that we picked this morning was one that I had considered preaching about and didn't, so we'll trust that that is part of it, and that it's going to come together as we look at God's word this morning. And I want to begin by asking you a question, and this is what our time together this morning is going to revolve around. So think about this, and it's a question we hear often, but think about it in a variety of ways, maybe. But the question is, what do you want?
Pizza.
Who doesn't want pizza? That was easy. Dusty knows pizza. So we know we want pizza. I agree. So pizza's a good thing. What do you want? Because as humans, we have the ability to think, to imagine, to believe, to desire. And it's a question that I think Jesus cares about. Sometimes we think we just go through life and, you know, you choose this, you do that, you eat pizza, things happen. And what we want sometimes doesn't feel that important. But I want to look at a passage in John and consider how Jesus approaches this. This is John 1, verses 35 to 39. And Jesus is calling his first disciples. And the next day, again, John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, "What are you seeking?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and you will see." So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. So Jesus asks the two disciples, they're curious about Jesus, they start following him around, and Jesus asks them, "What are you seeking?" Or to put it another way, "What do you want? Why are you following me? What are you looking for?" And it's not a trick question. Jesus is legitimately asking them what they want, what they're looking for. And I think that's how Jesus often talked to people. He approached them based on their interest or their desire. What are you looking for? What do you want? What are you seeking? And when I say desire, I'm talking about the needs, the passions, the longings, the wants that we have as humans. And let me put this out there and consider this as we talk this morning. Desire is the core drive or longing that pushes us to pursue things, to imagine, to long, to hope, to dream. Now, just for an example, desires can be used positively or negatively. Like we'll say, as humans, we have a desire for intimacy. We have a desire to be known by other people. For many of us, our desire leads us into marriage, in some cases, not for everyone. But the desire for love and intimacy, for example, can be sought in a healthy marriage, or it can be sought in promiscuous relationships. It's the same desire, but a different way of going about pursuing that desire. One ultimately healthy and one not healthy. But it's the same desire that pushes us towards the choices that we make. And we'll say the humans have deep longings built into their souls by God. Our desires created by God, and ultimately it's meant to lead us to God. Because desire points us towards the fact that there is something more to life. And when we feel like there should be more to life, it's because there is. Because we weren't created only for this world. That is part of our existence, but we are created for union with God, and were created to exist with him eternally. So the desires we have now cannot be perfectly fulfilled on earth, and they cannot be perfectly fulfilled without Jesus. We see that in Hebrews 11, that the hall of faith, as it's called, that many of the Old Testament saints, they saw into the future the promises that God had given, but they didn't actually see them fulfilled in their lifetimes. They knew that they would be fulfilled, but they never actually saw it physically. They had to believe in God's promises that they would be fulfilled one day, and they were, even though they didn't see them personally. I'll say the desire is even, in fact, necessary, as it's a close cousin of hope. If we have no desire, it's likely that we don't have hope. Because if we don't think that there could be anything better than what we see right now, we don't hope for anything different than what we see, and we may, in fact, lose hope. And the lack of hope can lead to despair. When we don't think our desires are being met, our tendency is to turn to things that we think will meet our desires, or will at least take the edge off. This could be relationships, it could be shopping, it could be pizza, whatever it is. Because our culture says, if it feels good, do it, right? That's what our culture teaches. Whatever you want to do, just do it. No one's stopping you, just go for it. On the other hand, because desires could lead us down the wrong path, sometimes, and this is probably more tends to be religious people, will try to kill desire and say that because desire could lead us down the wrong path if we make the wrong choices, I just will try not to desire anything because that's safer than taking a risk and maybe going down the wrong path. Finally, we can try to distract or numb ourselves with anything from Netflix to social media to alcohol, drugs, any number of distractions just to take us away from the pain, to numb things that we don't want to feel. The problem is that trying to fulfill, deny, or distract ourselves always falls short because none of those things can replace what is missing in our lives. We can't escape our human nature. We can't escape desire because God placed it in us. And deep down, we probably know that many of the things we pursue will ultimately not satisfy us, and that's where sometimes we can lose hope. And I wonder, this is just me speculating, but I wonder if sometimes that's why in our culture we have so many problems with depression and anxiety. Part of it is that we pursue all of these things and it's this never-ending cycle because we try things, we pursue things, and it doesn't ultimately fulfill us, right? You can go shopping, you buy something, and that's great for a week while you've got that new thing and it's exciting, but then what happens when that thing breaks or you get bored and then you just gotta go find something else, right? You start the whole process again, shop, look for something, buy, excitement, get bored, and it's just this never-ending cycle, right? You're never perfectly satisfied with anything that you can buy. And I just wonder if that's, we get discouraged because we recognize that no matter how much we buy, how much we eat, how much we drink, it's never going to satisfy fully. And I think we know that deep down. And I think for many of us in our culture, Christians and non-Christians, we don't necessarily know what to do with our desires. Because we've recognized we can't perfectly fulfill them, the best we can do is take the edge off. But the reality is that God is the only one who's able to perfectly fulfill our desires. We've been talking about Jesus the last few weeks, and we're going to get to how we talk to people about this, but we need to recognize this in ourselves too, and maybe first. And as Pastor Matt preached last week, Jesus met the woman at the well in the midst of her desire, and he pointed her to what she actually needed. This is in John 4, specifically verses 13 and 14. Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." And this is our culture, that whoever drinks of what culture offers will be thirsty again. We know that. But those who find their fulfillment in Jesus will find what they're looking for. A spring that doesn't run dry, satisfaction that doesn't last for a few hours or a day or a week. We have a quote, it says, "The material water that the woman was talking about would only allay thirst temporarily. The spiritual water would quench the inner thirst forever." And that's what Jesus is offering. Because relationship with God is what we were made for. And Clark Pinnock says this, "As God's kindred spirits, we find our hearts restless until they rest in Him. Our goal is to participate in the filial relationship between Father and Son," meaning that it's only in relationship with God the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit that we find fulfillment, that we find what we're looking for. And this applies to every single person in the world, not just Christians. Because we may think, oh, you know, we're probably predominantly Christians here. This may be something we're familiar with. But this doesn't apply just to Christians, because God created every person in the world, which means that everyone is looking for something. Hopefully, if you're a Christian, you have found what you're looking for. You have found Jesus, and we're on that path towards fulfillment in Jesus. But every single person in the world faces the same questions and the same dilemma. So in our series, as we've been talking about Jesus, what does this mean? And it means that all of us have desires. And just because people haven't found Jesus doesn't mean they don't have desires. So everyone you see, everyone you interact with on a daily basis has the same desires that you have. Hopefully, we have found that we can put our desires into Jesus. But for those who have never learned about Jesus, who have never heard about Jesus, they can be left confused because I don't know why I have these desires. I don't know why I can't find the answers. I don't know why I'm not able to find anything that fulfills me. My relationship is not perfect. The food I eat isn't perfect. The shopping I do doesn't lead me to be satisfied ultimately. Every single person we talk to is created by God and has built into their souls a desire for God. So if you're a follower of Jesus, what this means is that you actually know the answer to the people that are asking what they're created for, what they're meant for. You actually have the answers that people are looking for. And sometimes when we're talking about Jesus, we maybe make it more complicated in our minds that we have to know, you know, a kind of pathway to lead people through, and we got to know specific scriptures, and we have to have a deep theological understanding of the Bible. And it's helpful to know the Bible and the gospel, there's no doubt about that. But there isn't necessarily a formula for talking about Jesus. And I think we saw that when Jesus talked to people, he didn't seem to be following a formula. He just talked to people, and he met them where they were at and talked about what they were doing, what they were interested in, and he led them to an interest in himself through what they were doing at that moment. And not to make this confusing, but it's not often the relationship with God that comes first when we're talking about Jesus. Sometimes that happens, but often people come into a relationship with believers, with Christians, before they come to know Jesus, or before they come to know Jesus fully. Or maybe it's better to say that people experience Jesus through Christians first before they fully understand that it's a relationship with Jesus that they are coming to know. So we get to be the hands and feet of Jesus as we talk to people about Jesus, and people get to experience Jesus through us as we interact with them. The second thing to recognize as we're talking about desires, as we're talking about Jesus, is that people are open to the reality that we live in a spiritual world. This was a Barna Group study that was done quite recently, and it says, according to this study, 61% of Gen Z respondents believe that there's a supernatural or spiritual side to life, but doesn't believe that any one faith system works for them. And Carrie Newhoff, in talking about this study, says, while many people no longer identify with a specific faith, they will acknowledge the reality of the spiritual world and even long for spiritual experiences. So the numbers were slightly different between different generations, and Gen Z was actually the highest. They were most likely to believe in the reality of a spiritual world. According to this survey, 61%, you know, 6 out of 10 Gen Z people believe that there is some sort of spiritual world. They probably wouldn't define that in what we would say is a Christian way, but they believe that there's a spiritual world. They believe that there is something out there. And for a people that are spiritually open but don't know what they're looking for, it can be incredibly confusing because there's all of these possible options and it doesn't seem like there's any clear path. But we sometimes think that people are no longer interested in Jesus, that our culture is opposed to Jesus, and our culture is changing. There's no doubt about that. And people may not be open to some of the things we've traditionally talked about or emphasized, at least not initially, but 61% of Gen Z are open to the reality of a spiritual world. They just don't know what that looks like. And I think what that tells us is that people are looking for God. They don't necessarily wouldn't define it that way, but people are looking for God. They know that there's something more to life than what they're seeing. Because if they could find perfect satisfaction in what they were doing right now, they wouldn't care. It wouldn't matter. If I could do whatever I wanted and be perfectly content and fulfilled in that, I wouldn't need to look for something else. But people are looking for something else. And we talk about the conversations that Jesus had with people, all of the different varieties and the way he met them and led them and had these deep conversations, but didn't seem to be following this formula. And I think, you know, maybe we'd say, well, that was great for Jesus because he was Jesus, he was God. He kind of had a little bit of a inside track on things that we don't have. And we can say, we're not Jesus, but we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us, who is Jesus. So we have Jesus with us as we have conversations, and he leads us, he guides us. And just like in any good conversation, like when you're talking with someone, when you go to have a conversation, good conversation, you listen, you ask questions. And when we're talking about Jesus, all you have to do is add in pray. We listen to people, ask them questions, and pray. And the Holy Spirit is going to lead and guide and help us when we talk to people about Jesus. And I want to close this morning with this quote from C.S. Lewis. I don't have it on the slide, unfortunately. But C.S. Lewis says this: if we consider the unblushing promises of reward and the staggering nature of the rewards promised in the Gospels, and this is what Matt was talking about when he laid out the message of the Gospel a couple weeks ago, it would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures, fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased. And I think that reveals for us what this is all about. That we mess around with all of these other things, right? Whatever that is, whatever we try to use. But those things are not what we're looking for. Ultimately, we're looking for Jesus, and it's only in him that we can find that infinite joy. So this morning, I want to encourage you personally, and as you talk to people, let God stir your imagination. Let yourself dream with Jesus what that looks like. And it's worth praying about it, talking to Jesus, journaling, however you talk best to God. What do you want? Think about that. Take it to Jesus. Have a conversation with him. And then as you go throughout your week, your days, just remember that the people around you, rather than thinking like, oh, this person would never want to hear about Jesus, probably they do. They just don't know it. Because they have the same desires built into them that anyone does. And ultimately, our desire is meant to point us to God, as he is the only one that can satisfy what we're looking for.